Well, good morning. Good to share the word with you again today. And we're going to continue in John's Gospel and chapter 6. John's Gospel and chapter 6. If you were here last Sunday, we got down to about verse 29. We spoke about the feeding of the 5,000. And then the storm on the lake, and then the Lord starting to preach in Capernaum, in the synagogue in Capernaum. Verse 59 says that these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So we're going to continue the reading at verse 30, and we'll read verses 30 down to verse 40 for our reading this morning. Therefore they said to him, these are most of the people, or a lot of the people that were fed with the five loaves and the two fishes. They came over the lake to be with the Lord because they thought he was a miracle worker that would provide their material needs and everything would be rosy on that basis with them then. So the Lord speaks about not laboring for material things, but for spiritual things, and he explains that what the Father is looking for is for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got down to that in verse 29. This is the work of God, the Lord said, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Now that's a pretty cheeky question to ask after they've been fed with the five loaves and two fishes. What sign will you show? What more sign could he give them? So, their hearts are hard. They just want someone to look after them in a temporal way. And that's the background to this sermon that the Lord preached. So, verse 30, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father did, and my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they say, verse 34, that's what we want. Then they said unto him, Lord, give us this bread always. Again, they're thinking about material bread. Give us this bread always. So the Lord goes on again to explain what he's driving at. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that ye have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so the Lord will bless to us this reading from his precious word. The subject goes on now to the bread from heaven. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the bread of life. And the point of the story, I think, and then the sermon, is that the Lord Jesus is the answer. It's not something so much that he gives, although he gives salvation, but it all comes in a package. The first thing that we have to receive is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 1 and 12, as many as received him. Received him. It's a person. Christianity is about a person who came into this world, who died on a cross, who rose again and went back to heaven, and he offers himself to people to come to him. So it's all about him. And the thing is this, it's like a marriage. Maybe a marriage in the old days, I'm not sure how the marriages work today so much, but in the old days, when a woman married a man, she had a share of everything that he had. And that's how Christianity is like that. Romans 8 and 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, if I have Christ, I have everything. I have everything in him. So, we'll pick up the reading then at verse 30. As we said, these people that ate of the loaves and the fish, they ask for a sign. What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? See, the Lord had said, the work of God in verse 29, that you believe in him whom he hath sent. What sign will you show that we should believe you? Jesus said unto them, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Now, you can see inferring in their answer in verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And you can almost see here that they were saying that it was Moses that gave us the bread. And the Lord says, no, it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread. It was my Father that gave you the bread, and now he's giving you the true bread. He's giving you the true bread. Exodus 16 and verse 4, when the Lord first gave the manna, the Lord says to Moses, I will rain down upon them manna from heaven. Moses was just the messenger. The manna came from God himself. And every morning, when the people woke up, they had manna to eat. It was all around the camp. It lay on the dew, and there was the food for them for that day. Wonderful. But it was God that gave them the manna every day for 40 years. What a miracle. What a sign that was, wasn't it? But that was only a little picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself was going to do. And so he goes on and he says in verse 32, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Just as he gave the manna in the Old Testament, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And I'm emphasizing the word gives. Gives. It's a gift from God. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, what did he mean by that? When he uses the word true, what's involved in that? It's not that the manna was false. The manna was real. But it was only typical. It was only a type. And the living reality of what God gives now is the true bread, the bread that can meet your need, the bread that has met my need, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, I am the bread of life. So, what I'm emphasizing here now is the Father's giving. The Father gives. For God so loved the world that he gave It's from the divine side, the work has been done. It's been done. And so, verse 33, he goes on to explain. For the bread of God, the bread of God, what does he mean by the bread of God? It's the provision that God has made. The provision that God has made. God has given bread. Just as he gave manna in the Old Testament, here in the New Testament, the bread of God, that's God's provision for us in the person of his Son. And he goes on then, the bread of God is he. See that? The bread is he who comes down from heaven. Now, one thing, maybe we should skip over to verses 41 and 42. When the Lord spake about himself coming down from heaven, this is important to see this. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. What they're inferring is that can't be right. That can't be right. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? They couldn't put those two things together. They only saw him as the son of Mary and Joseph, and that is far as they saw. But the Lord speaks about himself in a far grander and greater way, as one who came down from heaven. And what's inferred by that is that the one who was born, and he was born in Bethlehem's manger, he existed from all eternity, one with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit, as the second person of the Trinity. And he came down from heaven, and he was born into this world. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that he did that in order that he might die. That he might die. So, this is the bread, verse 33 then, which comes down from heaven. Now, why does he come down from heaven? He comes down from heaven to give life. To give life. Without him, we're dead in trespasses and in sins, the Bible tells us. But he has come that he might give us life. You know, I was enjoying a verse in John's Gospel, chapter 10, where the Lord says, I am come that they might have life. Yeah? And that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Life, life, abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. Tell me something. Are you and I enjoying the abundant life that's in Christ? Amen? That's what he says he came for, to give us more abundant life. And he came to give life. Now I'd like you to notice verse 33 again. Look at this with me, because I've been thinking about this much the last year or two. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives, there's our word again, gives life to whom? He gives life to the world. He gives life to the world. Down to verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Of the world. Christ died for everyone. I want to make that clear today. The death of Christ was for every person that's living in this world. They can all come to Christ through faith in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, what has God done? God has given the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come down from heaven, and he gives life to the world. He gives life. They go on then, and they say in verse 34, then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Notice how now they're putting emphasis on the word give. Give us this bread. What they didn't realize is that the Father had already given the bread. The Father gave the bread. He gives life. He gives the bread that gives life to the world. They say, give us this bread. And then the Lord answers them. And here's where you come in. Here's where I come in. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. You want satisfaction? You'll only find it in Christ. He's the only one that can satisfy. Remember when he was speaking to the woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4, he was speaking about water. And when he spoke about the water and all that would do for her, she said, give me this water, that I thirst not and won't need to come here to draw water from the well again. She missed the point. The Lord was speaking about spiritual things, not material things. And when they said, give us this bread again, they couldn't rise above material things. The Lord therefore says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He's the only one that can satisfy. He goes on to say, he who comes to me shall never hunger. Now, I would like you to notice the difference here in verse 35. The Lord has been speaking about the manna was given. The Son of God was given. The people in their ignorance ask, give us this bread. No, that's God's work. God has given his Son. And what's your place and mine is in verse 35. He who comes to me. The provision's there. But he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And this is the thing, beloved, that I've been thinking about it for many months and a number of years, about the provision that God has made. But that provision has to be received. It has to be received. The old preachers that Steve used to hear down in the Maritimes, they used to speak about three things. They used to say there was a day when, a place where, and a manner how I received the Lord Jesus Christ. A place where, a time when, and a manner how. It's a definite act of faith. I think I said last week, if I didn't, I'll say it again, that if you were the only person in the world and Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, you could say, he did that for me. He did that for me. And that's the thing about salvation. It's something that you do for yourself. You do it for yourself. A father can't do it for his child. Or a mother for a daughter. Or a brother for a sister. Or a boyfriend for a girl. It's an individual thing that you have to do. Whosoever comes to me shall never hunger. And whosoever believes in me shall never thirst. So, I'm going to ask you in all loving kindness today. Was there a time in your life when you accepted and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. There was a time when I did it. I could tell you that. I was 16 years old at a Bible class camp in Scotland, and I heard a preacher preaching who was a converted boxer. He was a man who, a pugilist, a boxer, and he got saved, and he became a preacher, and he was preaching that night. And I came under conviction of sin that night like I'd never done before. And I realized that the Lord was speaking to me, and he wanted me to receive the message. And a friend of mine sitting next to me said, "Miller, this was the last night of the camp, the last message." And my friend said to me, "Miller, if you're going to get saved, why don't you do it tonight?" And I said, "Charlie, I'm going to do that." And the preacher took me aside, and he spoke to me about John 5:24. "He that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life." By believing and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Passed from death into life, the abundant life in Christ. And I did that. And I knew I was saved. I didn't know very much, but I knew enough to know that I'd placed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and based on his word, based on the word that he spoke in John 5:24, I could claim that. Claim it as my own. And I did. And there have been many bumps along the way, I can tell you that, as anybody's experienced, but the Lord's with us. Our Savior's with us. And he's leading us all the way. And so he goes on here and he says, after he presents that, that it was God's place to give, it's your place to believe and receive. Very sadly, he says in verse 36, "But I said to you that you've seen me, and yet you do not believe." You do not believe. You know, I've been there. I've sat in gospel meetings before I got saved. And I knew, yep, that's the message. I understand it. Very clear. But I've got so many things to do in my life yet. I'll do it when I feel like doing it. But there was a time came when, boom, that was the time when they received the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'd be a wonderful thing for the glory of God, for the blessing of the church here, and for the wee humble preacher as well. If somebody would say, "You know, brother, I place faith in Jesus Christ for salvation today." Be wonderful. We would rejoice. Heaven would rejoice in that. And all the glory, of course, would go to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then he goes on then, Verses 37-40. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." Verse 37. "And the one who comes, I will in no wise cast out." Now, I want you to think about this verse. Kindly. But we're getting into deep water here. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And what I would call that divine sovereignty. Divine sovereignty. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Okay, but he doesn't stop there. And he goes on to say in the same verse, "And the one who comes to me," there's our word again, "the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." What's that? That's human responsibility. Divine sovereignty. And I'm going to tell you, when you're studying the Bible, folks, don't make these two things clash with each other. Don't make them clash. That they're in perfect everything, all the truth of God is in perfect harmony in God himself. We are finite creatures, And we always think in the way of this. If that's true, then that's not true. And that's how we... But God doesn't see things that way. So we have human... We have divine sovereignty. And we have human responsibility. And what we have to do, we've got to leave the divine sovereignty in God's hands. And we've got to see what we have to deal with. Him that comes to me, that's my human responsibility. I'm responsible for coming. And it's based on eternal issues. Eternal issues. Him that comes to me, I love that word. I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. You know, it's possible for a believer to be cast down. Psalm 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6 that God comforts those who are cast down. So I'm going to tell you, I tell myself as well, it's possible for me as a believer to be cast down. But I will never, never, never be cast out. Amen. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And when I'm cast down, I think about this text. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's good, Dad. I might be cast down, but I'm not going to be cast out. And that cheers me up and picks me up. And I go on my way rejoicing. What does it mean that you'll never be cast out? When you come to Christ, you might say, well, you know, I would come to Christ, but I know I can't keep it. He doesn't ask you to keep it. He'll do the keeping. He'll do the keeping. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to what he says in John 10. It's amazing how all, you know, I'm convinced that the whole of John's gospel is almost one great sermon on these things. He says this in John 10 and 28 and 29. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than I. No one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There are two hands holding you. There's the hand of the Father, and there's the hand of the Son, and that's the eternal security that I have in Christ. And you can have that too. And so don't think about keeping it. The Lord will keep you. The Father will keep you. And you'll go on your way rejoicing. Now, amen. Amen. I could, amen indeed. You know, the Lord, you know, I like the story that I heard. I'm just going to digress a wee bit because I've got some more things to say, but I'm going to stop there for now. And I'm just going to share something that I heard about somebody in the old Soviet Union when the walls came down and Russia opened up for the gospel. And an old Russian got saved. Never had heard the gospel before. Knew nothing. But he got saved through the preaching of the word. And one of the men asked him to pray. And he said something like this. Oh God, you're a good God. If I had been in your shoes and you had been in mine, I would never have done for you what you've done for me. Oh God, you're a good God. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's the heart of the Savior, folks. He wants us to come. Remember that time when he stood outside the city of Jerusalem and he wept for them. He wept. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known in this thy day the things that belong to your peace, but now they're hid far from your eyes. He said, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers its chickens under her wing. I would, but you would not. You would not. That's the crux of the whole thing. That's the crux of the matter. God has done everything that he can. He's done everything, I was going to say humanly possible, he's done everything divinely possible for your salvation and mine. And all he wants you to do is receive the gift, thank the giver, and go on your way rejoicing. May the Lord bless the word to us today for his own name's sake. Our Father, we thank you for this time together in the word. We thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how, what a faithful preacher he was. How he told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And many went away and walked no more with him. And he turned to the 12 at the end of this chapter. After preaching a sermon, not like the modern preachers today, I preached a sermon and 500 or 1,000 souls got saved. I preached a sermon and everybody left me alone. And he said to the 12, will you also go away? Will you also go away? The Lord knew that he was on his way to do a work for the glory of his Father and for the salvation of precious souls. So bless the word then, Father, to us today as we give thanks now for all thy goodness to us. Bless Sid as he brings the message. And we give thanks now for thy goodness in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.